I'd like to call the EAC meeting to work. First item is approval of the minutes of our April 17th meeting. Has anybody had a chance to take a look at them?
I'd like to make that motion, please.
Second?
Second.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Approved, we're on to our only discussion item, which is the Board of Directors Summit 3A.
Yeah, I just wanted to give the committee an update on that, because I'm not sure that everybody's aware of what's going on, although I'd like to think maybe they are. The Board of Directors, a couple months ago, Chairman Stinger asked that the board hold a summit or retreat to discuss big regional issues. Not necessarily the agency and the direction we're going, but more of these larger regional issues that could be kind of discussed, acknowledged, and then set a regional agenda for the future, where, you know, every few months or so, the board might get together and talk about some of these things and set a direction. A lot of it is around collaboration and coordination, because Gateway as an organization does a lot in terms of convening groups and bringing people together and helping to collaborate. But we don't necessarily have the expertise in all the areas that the board's wanting to look at. So they're really focusing on four areas: workforce and education, economic development, public safety and crime, and then a common voice in Jeff City and Springfield. So they're kind of low-hanging fruit items, but they're very important to the region. And if we can start to address some of these things, it'll really go a long way, I think, in terms of helping move the region ahead and getting us to that next level. Just an example, under education and workforce alone, there's been some systems mapping going on, and looking at that, they've identified 178 different agencies that do workforce development, from universities to the workforce boards, you know, just kind of all kinds of different groups, not-for-profit groups.
Region?
Regionally. And I'll tell you, that's not even an exhaustive list, because I was looking through that, and I know other groups that are working on it that aren't identified in that mapping. The ironic piece of that is they're all kind of going to the same end of making sure people are ready to work, but they're not necessarily going in the same direction all the time. They're not necessarily collaborating and working together as well as they could. In fact, sometimes I think they're probably going counter to one another. It's not necessarily a good use of resources in the region. It's certainly not a good source of trying to, not just financial resources, but not good source of the resources that we have in terms of people and organizations that provide services. So we will be bringing in a facilitator. The kind of the makeup of the meeting is the board will have a short business meeting next Wednesday. And the meeting is at Forest Park Visitor Center in Forest Park. You're all welcome to attend that if you want. So there'll be a short business meeting, and then we'll go into the summit. It's really a discussion and a conversation about what we should be doing, what we are doing, and what we should be doing on both sides of the river around those four topics. To kick it off, what we're going to do is have Orv Kimbrough from the United Way and Kathy Osborne and Tom Schulich from the Regional Business Council and from the Regional Chamber come in and explain to the board why it's so important that our board, representing government in the region, is taking on this task and looking at these issues. How it impacts social service and not-for-profit agencies from the United Way's perspective. The reason we have that coming in is they have the same footprint as East West Gateway as MSA. And so we have a lot of the same players and characters are working with them that are working with us. Additionally, Kathy Osborne and Tom Schulich, because the chamber has a similar footprint as East West Gateway and the MSA. With the little bit of kind of upheaval that's been going on at the chamber, RBC's coming in to help kind of stabilize that. The chamber still represents the region in terms of business, but the RBC wants to be there to make sure that we're kind of all on the same page. Civic Progress is not going to be there in terms of speaking, but they are going to be there and help with the conversation a little bit. Partially because Tom Irwin is out with, I think, a hip replacement or something going on right now, so there's a lot of stuff there. And then we'll go into talking about public safety and crime. The plan is to have Jeff Jensen, U.S. Attorney from the DOJ, talk about kind of crime and public safety from a high level. And then we'll go into a conversation with our board members, the facilitator. We're still working out the pieces on workforce and on economic development and the common voice. Some of those might just be a straight-up conversation that the board's having themselves. Simply because you start talking some of those other areas, economic development and workforce, and you get a lot of, depending on who you're able to bring in, a lot of people think they're trying to be defensive of the actions that they're already taking. And although they're working hard, it may not be moving us quite in the right direction. So there's that conversation that's going to happen, I think, just between the board members, or if we can get someone to come in. We've got a couple of people that we're talking to about coming in, talking from a 30,000 foot level about what we want to do. But most of it's a conversation that the board's going to be having to help set that agenda. So I just want to make you aware you're invited. It's again next Wednesday at the Visitor Center in Forest Park. And it goes from 10 a.m. till 4.
So, Jim, who would be Kathy Osborne and who for workforce?
We don't know who we're having from workforce, if anyone yet. That might just be a conversation. For, at the very beginning, we're having Orv Kimbrough from United Way and Kathy Osborne and Tom Chulik help set the stage about why it's important that our board members as kind of government are talking about these items, at least from the perspective of social service and not-for-profit and from business. Those are really kind of the three big sectors that have involvement in these items and that can help make some change in the region around those four areas.
Mr. Chair, Jim, you know some of these things, so I'm just going to throw this out. And I went to, when was it, years ago, there was a retreat in Forest Park, probably 8 years ago. And Tom, you know this because you and I have been around for a long time. So I think it's important. I remember when I was a young man, I talked to one of the senators in the region that was in one of the out counties. I talked to one of the senators of the city. Both of them said, don't ask me to vote with the other one. And I agree with what you said when we coordinate what we're doing out of the St. Louis area down in Jeff City. So what I said to the one senator, I said, you want transit. And I said to the other one, you want suburban freeway type systems. Let's vote on transportation funding and be together on transportation and drag it all into the St. Louis area and we can divvy it up when we get it back to the St. Louis area. So I think we need a lot of that. I know you're doing that already. Over at Regional Chamber, years ago when Randy Adams was around, I was on that committee. And I'm saying this respectfully. So they have a committee now. There used to be a surface transportation committee or a roads committee or whatever. And some of this is at a real high level, CEOs and others that are serving on some of those committees. They need some of us on there. So that we can coordinate with them on what we're doing here at East West Gateway. And we can all be together on that also when they're visiting with their legislators, the business community, and others are. I just ran across, and I understand that Tom Irwin is leading Civic Progress, and that there's a new Anheuser-Busch executive that's going to be taking over as the executive director down there. But Civic Progress is different, Tom, than you and I recall when I was a real young man and you were even younger then. But I think that what we need to do is get them into the loop on all of this, because and I think we should, and I'll take that on if you want me to, I think we should lobby them to be there. I think the new Anheuser-Busch executive could learn a lot by sitting in on this.
No, they have people that are coming. Okay. They're just not going to kick off at the beginning setting that context of why it's...
I misunderstood. I thought they weren't going to be there.
Well, and just so you know, too, there's an effort going on. It should be wrapping up soon where Civic Progress, they're looking at kind of their actions and their work and everything they're doing. RBC and the Chamber, and they're trying to figure out who's swimming in what lanes and trying to take away some redundancy and figure out how they can start to work together and kind of in their, working in their own wheelhouses and not kind of doubling up on activities. So there's a lot of that going on too. So, and within organizations that are representing the business community, they're going through that effort right now to try to tighten things up and figure out how they're going to be moving it.
And I know I preach in the choir, we could be a powerhouse in Jeff City if this entire region could just, like I said on transportation, different issues, but just being together.
Well, and I think it's important too, although, you know, the Missouri legislature may not think the Illinois portion of the region, you know, their voice matters, but it does matter because it's part of the region. It's not Illinois going and talking to Jeff City. It's not Missouri going to talk to Springfield. It's the region going as a whole. I think it's very important that we, you know, if we're looking at an impact to the region, it's not just one side of the river or the other, it's the whole region. And although it may not affect something in Illinois or may not affect something in Missouri, as a whole, it affects all of us. So if we can get that kind of collaboration and cooperation to go to speak at the capitals, I think I can skip along.
And I know you're doing that. I know our county executive is visiting the Illinois folks. You're exactly right. So Commissioner Brinkman, our new highway commission, he asked me when I saw him at the reception, he said, Gary, tell me about East West Gateway Council of Governments, how that works on a bi-state type board when you're voting on the TIP and the SIP and so forth with the Board of Missouri and Illinois type funding initiative. So I gave him a little snapshot on that, and I think we need to keep working that. I think that's a great idea.
I mean, a lot of organizations and individuals look to our board for leadership, and this is a great opportunity to kind of brush things off and work toward addressing some of these things that have been holding us back.
Excellent.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Jim.
Thanks.
On to action item 4A, 2018 regional performance targets. Peter.
Good afternoon. I've heard a lot of requires that MPO set targets for a number of transportation performance measures. You may recall back in February we discussed safety targets. We are back with what FHWA is filing under the category of system reliability. I'll just provide a brief bit of background and then walk through our target setting process. These performance measures in this target setting process is derived from the current and the previous transportation bills, MAP 21 and the FAST Act, which set federal goals in the areas of safety, infrastructure condition, congestion reduction, environmental sustainability, among others. And these goals track very well with the goals, the 10 guiding principles adopted by these directors, which are reflected in our long-range plan, Connected 2045. How it works in practice is that, like I said, the federal government sets these goal areas. The FAST Act identifies the goal areas, then USDOT identifies the performance measures. And in this particular case, and only in this case, do the MPOs and the state DOTs establish performance targets collectively. Usually the state goes first, and then the MPO has the option to either adopt or modify the state target for their own purposes. But in this case, it's a collaborative effort between IDOT, MoDOT, and East West Gateway. And just a reminder, per law, we are required to undertake a performance-driven, outcome-based planning process here at East West Gateway. The measures that we are setting targets for this time around are hours, annual hours of excessive delay per capita, as well as the percent of single occupancy vehicle travel. PDRs has delay, as the title suggests, the cumulative hours spent per person in excessive delay per year. The threshold is set by the rule, so either less than 20 miles per hour or up to 60% of the posted speed limit, whichever is greater, on the national highway system. The issue here is that the federal government procured a data set for use for all MPOs throughout the country, but we only have 1 year of data on this measure at the moment, which made it very difficult to discern a trend. Hence, IDOT, MoDOT, and East West Gateway are proposing a target for 2022, which is equal to the current baseline of 9.5 hours per year. The good news is we can revisit this in 2 years to adjust the targets as necessary, depending on we will be able to have more data by then, perhaps we can see how we're heading, how things are going in that regard. Regarding single occupancy vehicle, the data is derived from the American Community Survey from the Census, We have a current baseline number of 16.4%. The 2020 target rose to 16.7, and a 2022 target of 17%. The thinking behind the slight increase is that, for example, City of St. Louis has introduced bike share, Metro is undertaking their reimagined work on their system, there's increased working from home has been working well as an increasing trend, as well as increasing gas prices, which do often lead to mode changes. Again, we're required to report our baseline data to our DOT partners, which then report into the federal government, our long-range plan, state long-range plan, and our TIP, and the state transportation improvement program must outline how they work towards achieving these performance targets. And just from your calendar, because it's very exciting, there will be further target setting coming your way later on in the year, pavement bridges, congestion, CMAQ targets, summer and fall of this year. And there is still a greenhouse gas emissions measure on the books. It's there with an asterisk due to the currently coming from the field, but Mr. Simple spoke to it still on the books at this speed. So with that, staff recommends approval of the reliability performance target, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
All right, are there any questions from Peter?
I think I have a question. On the 9.5 hours,
yes.
For how is that established? I mean, what type of, there's no baseline data that I can see mentioned, and I think you mentioned it also in your presentation, so how do we know 9.5?
So there is data for 2017, that is the second year, so it was collected in 2017.
Is that an average system-wide per capita?
On the national highway system, yes.
So it doesn't look like congestion. It's one number for the whole region.
Right.
So it's kind of an overall region average.
It's a regional snapshot, but it does not take into account particular locations.
Okay. Is that, I'm just curious, I know St. Louis, 9.5 hours for a region doesn't seem like a high number.
Well, I actually asked, I didn't know John's other ones, if you want to know how good we have it. So Memphis, 7.1. Chicago 17, Minneapolis 9, Atlanta 20, Los Angeles 51.7. So there's a.
Say that.
Memphis 7.1 hours a year, Chicago 16.9, Minneapolis 9.0, Atlanta 20.4, Los Angeles 51.7.
And what's that performance measure you use at the federal level? How do they? What's that performance measure used? How's it going to affect us as a region moving forward?
If we don't meet it or if we exceed it, is there some sort of repercussion? Is that the kind of, that's what you're asking?
Or if they, you know, if LA is 50 and we're at 9.5, how's it affect? Is there any impact to us from a funding or future funding in the future of where we stand?
Not as of yet, no. The idea, I think, is to, so this thing is rolling out slowly. These targets are coming out one after the other. The idea is to, I guess, make systematic investments that will achieve targets for all these measures. Unfortunately, they came out piecemeal on the federal side, so we did safety first, now we're doing reliability, we're doing CMAQ and congestion, bridges and pavement later, which is why we're taking a rather conservative approach, and we just don't know how those state targets come out for the next one. But the long story short is there's no penalties, there's also no rewards. Everybody's, we, Wisconsin Gateway, the states, the federal government, is going through this for the first time, and it's kind of a learning process right now.
And then the other is 16.4, I think you proposed 16.7 and 17 in the future years. 16.4 so is based on census data.
Yes.
So that's just a, and that's just based on customer response of whether they're, because isn't transit paying in the region 3 to 5%? Is that what I remember seeing and where we stand? Community account.
Commute time, but primary mode of travel for journey to work in our APIP region. Yeah, so that is on the order of that.
So is it 16.4 that percent?
That's percent. That includes transit, working from home, carpooling, bicycling, walking.
So do you have that kind of granular analysis of how it came up to 16.4?
Yeah, yeah, I'll check
it out. Did I get it? Be able to send that?
Yes, actually, I should plug. Our research department will be putting out a where we stand update on most of the technology as well.
I am a telecom meeting and those items. I'm not sure if I've seen that and where you stand, but I just listed. Thank you.
Right, any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, Jim, can I just say this? You and I sat in on that listening session with FHWA-FTA. First paragraph, fullness part, she talks about the goals and it talks about safety, infrastructure, and so forth. I mean, I was stunned. And again, we have to work with the FHWA people and the FTA people, so I get that. But I was pretty stunned at what came out of that meeting, which is nothing has trickled down from FHWA headquarters with regard to President Trump's streamlining convention.
I was stunned but not surprised. I mean, that's typically how that process works. You know, it doesn't matter which administration it is, there's a process in place for those regulations to get in the rules that go along with it to work their way down. Even though people say they want to get away from the bureaucracy, that bureaucracy is still there for various reasons, some good, some bad.
But I mean, I feel like I know I'm preaching the choir, these targets can be better met if these streamlining measures are trickling down. So just so everybody knows, you know, and I've been around this for a long time, so I was asking some questions during that meeting, and they basically said, well, the FHWA executive director is getting ready to retire, and they really don't have any streamlining measures that have come down from above, down into the file of the country. And what that really means in English is that when they do finally come down and they start bringing guidance in place, it's going to take, right, 2 to 5 years for the feds to get that in place and we can do something with it back here in the greater San Luis area. So we don't have anything with regard to these streamlining measures that we can apply to these measures and projects that we're working on. So I just feel like maybe we should send a message back up to them. Come on, guys, you know, send something back to us that we can work with from FHWA. Just a thought.
Yeah.
I'll pick up on that.
Any other questions or comments? If not, can I get a motion to accept the staff's recommendation for the 2018 regional reliability targets for our area 9.5 hours for annual hours of peak power excessive delay and 17% for 16.7% of non-single occupancy travel?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. Next item is 4B, consultant selection for the Collinsville Street Study. Peter?
Thanks for your time. Consistent with the Unified Planning Work Program, Eastwood Gateway released a call for projects for Great Streets Planning Assistance in Illinois. Staff reviewed the applications that came in, selected Collinsville as a site for planning assistance for this year. So then we worked with Collinsville, developed requests for proposals for professional services. When those applications came in, they were reviewed by a selection committee made up of Collinsville staff and Mr. Stapley's staff. And collectively, we were reviewed tonight, and the committee recommends development strategies for economic assessment, I-500 for environmental infrastructure, CDB for transportation analysis, and FAR associates for urban planning. So staff requests that the executive director be authorized to negotiate and enter into a contract with the selected consultants, or the recommended consultants, I suppose, for a collective amount not to exceed $85,000. And in fact, we're not able to reach agreements with any or all of them. We request the same authorization for the alternate firms which are listed. Furthermore, staff recommends authorization for our executive director to enter into a funding agreement with the City of Collinsville for amount not to exceed $10,000. Any questions?
Questions for Paul? If not, can I get a motion to approve the development strategies I-5, CGB, and FAR group for the Collinsville Great Street project?
So moved.
Second.
Second, Stephanie. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Thank you. 4C, modifications to the fiscal year 2018-21 transportation improvement program. Yes, sir.
The section 53-10 program provides funding of transportation projects that improve the mobility of seniors and individuals with disabilities. Funds are apportioned in the state's most urbanized area.
and federal law requires that at least 55% of funding be spent on traditional projects, which includes the capital acquisition vehicles. The remaining 45% may be used on new freedom type projects, which includes capital or operating projects that exceed the requirements of ADA, improve access to fixed route service, or provide alternatives to public transit. The program requires a 20% local match for capital and mobility management projects and 50% local match for operating projects. East West Gateway released a call for projects in January 2018 and applications were due on March 5th. Approximately $2.2 million was available for this solicitation. Staff received 15 traditional applications requesting 34 vehicles totaling $1.4 million in federal funds and 9 freedom type applications totaling $2.1 million in federal funds. The combined total of federal funds requested was $3.5 million. Project applications were reviewed by East West Gateway staff using the criteria established in the 2016 Board Approved Coordinated Human Services Transportation Plan. In all, staff is recommending approval of 30 vehicles requested by 13 service providers, totaling $1,236,000 in Section 5310 traditional funds, and 5 projects totaling $1,029,000 in freedom type funds.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Can I have a second? Have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thanks, Melissa. Next is more CIP modifications for Illinois Missouri sponsors.
IDOT and MoDOT have requested amendments to the fiscal year 2018 to 2021 transportation improvement program. IDOT has requested to add 2 new projects and execute projects. IDOT is also reducing the scope of one of these on the I-55, I-64 electric distributor from deck replacement to joint superstructure and substructure repairs. MoDOT has requested to add 2 new projects for payments to local public agencies. One is to Winchell for the I-70 David Little Parkway interchange. The other is a payment to relinquish maintenance of a section of the I-55 outer route to Kirkland. MoDOT is requesting to advance 5 existing projects from fiscal year 2019 to fiscal year 2018 and to increase the cost of the Missouri C project due to the addition to the project scope of parking costs. Additionally, MoDOT has also requested to add 1 scoping project for the realignment of I-70 in St. Charles County. Staff recommends approval of these amendments to the TIP connected 2045 and the air quality conformity determination. Are there any questions?
Questions or comments? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
I move to adopt.
Thank you, Gary. A second?
Second,
Bill Schnell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Jeff. Our last action item is for the regional security expenditures.
Good afternoon. This month's regional security expenditures will provide funding, will provide training for the regions of the office in the ArcGIS software system. In addition, will also provide funds in the subaward to St. Louis County, Missouri, will fund the Fusion Center training liaison position. This training liaison position will be working with first responders across the region, as well as civilian representatives from various different types of agencies that are basically religious institutions, historical and cultural institutions, to help better share intelligence information. In addition, provide funds for software training in the SPSS software, as well as purchase tactical helmets and ballistic vests for the region's Metro Bomb Unit and global positioning units for the urban search and rescue teams. All totals $323,701, and funds will come from both the urban areas security initiative grant program and the complex coordinated terrorist attack grant program. Staff recommendations to approve the expenditures.
Questions? Hearing none, I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Other business to come before the commission.
Mr. Chairman, can I just give a snapshot on what happened in Jeff City? and user fee that was adopted by the General Assembly on a federal level. So the Missouri General Assembly set it in house, and it goes to, some believe it should go to the governor for signature first, but others believe it will go straight on in November. And it's a 10 cent fuel tax increase, 2.5 cents per gallon increase over 4 years for a total of 10. So we're waiting to see how that shakes out, because in there is money for the highway patrol, cities, counties, MODA, and we're waiting for all that to sort out and how that works. So I'll report later on that as it becomes more available to everybody. On the federal level.
Gary, before you jump off that subject, I just wanted to point out the bill that that gasoline tax passed on was originally a tax exemption bill for Olympic medalists. So we have a rule in Missouri that usually you can't have too many subjects in a single bill. Hampshire rule, and I think that this is certainly on the edge of that. We also have a governor who may or may not who signed that bill. Early on said that he was not going to sign any tax increase bills, gasoline tax increases. So, you know, I'm happy that passed. I think we just throw that out there for the group, because it seems to have, in my mind, an uncertain future. So,
some people that work for me are saying Gary goes straight to the ballot in November as per the Constitution. Others are saying, no, Gary, it's not that section of the Constitution. It needs to go to the governor. The governor in the past, and I talked to Dan Meehan about this, who runs the Missouri Chamber, they endorsed him early on because he was saying he was going to support transportation funding, but he recently announced that he wouldn't sign something like this. And everybody's sorting through that right now, and some are saying 7 cents of that goes to patrol and 3 cents on transportation, and that leaves room for a future bill next session to do more on transportation, because there's a sustaining funding source for the patrol. So this whole thing is a moving target right now.
And all subject to litigation.
Pardon me?
I feel it's subject to litigation.
Yeah, exactly.
In either case.
Exactly. Yeah. So the lawyers are probably talking about it right now as we
speak. Sure they are.
On the federal level, when I talked to Jason about this, and I was going to follow up with him. So with the omnibus bill that was passed, was $1.98 billion more that they added on to that omnibus bill, which isn't a lot when you divvy that up nationwide, but it's more money. And then they're looking at the 2019 US DOT funding package on the House level now. Everything, not a lot, but everything's ramping up a little bit, and that's looking pretty good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Gary. Any other comments? If not, motion to adjourn.
Make that one.
All right, second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everybody. See you next month.